Jennifer's Cues, good morning.
Good morning. I'm here.
Oh, wonderful. Jennifer, last week we started a conversation about autoimmune diseases. We spoke about IBS and and other conditions. And today you said that you're going to share a little bit more about that topic to us, because do you see many clients that do suffer from autoimmune diseases, or is this something quite rare?
No, it's not rare at all. It's a very common problem, and it's often not diagnosed medically, because medically they look at symptoms and treat the symptoms. I look at the cause, and inflammation is the major cause. So I've investigated it over the years to understand it. Well, why does the body get inflamed? What causes it?
Okay.
But I think understanding inflammation, and we know inflammation when we maybe have a bad knock to the head and it swells up and it's hot and red and that sort of thing, or do something to an arm or a leg or a knee, and we get, particularly knees, you get all that swelling, and that's where your immune system is designed to send to treat the problem. I mean, God has given us a self-healing system. If we treat it right, it runs really well. But when we're not doing that, or we extend, like we do an injury, then God has a system that treats it. And that's where inflammation comes in. See, inflammation on that level isn't bad. What it does, it brings fluid to the area. Yes, it causes heat and swelling, but that's to protect the area. And you'll find that if you do natural things and put on ice packs or whatever, it will go down and it will treat the problem.
Okay.
So inflammation is part of our whole being, but it's when anything goes wrong, when anything goes to the extreme, the body has a problem, the whole system has a problem, because we're not meant to have inflammation in our whole system.
And that kind of inflammation that you're talking about, this is more the acute kind, right? Like you're seeing there's a big swelling, redness, and, you know, heat, and a bit of pain, maybe fluid accumulation, let's say, in the arm, if you get sore. But what you're talking here is not that acute inflammation. It's more like a low-grade sort of generalized inflammation. So your blood is inflamed? Is that accurate?
Well, what happens, the cells are inflamed, the brain's inflamed, the organs are inflamed. It becomes acute. Major autoimmune inflammatory disorders are extreme. You can die from them if it's cancer or something like that. I mean, I'm going, you know, you're saying it but it starts low level.
Okay.
Right? And one of the big factors is stress. Stress causes inflammation because you've got a lot of adrenaline, cortisol, and revving the engine. It's like if you get in a car and really rev the engine, it heats up.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to our body.
I love
and
that analogy. That makes lots of sense, yeah.
It does. Cars are a great analogy for that sort of thing. We want to take the foot off the accelerator and then turn the engine off, and that's that inflammatory factor. And there are ways you can do that. We're going to get to that, but because we have short time spans, we're sort of doing chunks of this, and I think understanding inflammation is important. But when you have depression, anxiety, any brain disorder, you've got high inflammation in the brain cells, right? And that's where we have problems. Some of the signs, there are signs of inflammation. Certainly pain is one of them. But when you're looking at chronic long-term, and I have a lot of clients who have long-term or had long-term inflammation, and they recover slowly, but they have to change things as they go. We do a whole package to start to reduce the inflammation in the system. But it causes fatigue. You know, and these are signs we went, oh, why am I always so fatigued? And I'm getting all these skin problems. I often get that one. Oh, why have I got these rashes breaking out? Constipation, weight gain. They can all be signs of chronic inflammation in the body.
Okay.
Right?
Wow. And, that's quite amazing, because you know, how many people would there be that are struggling with all these symptoms and they say, look, where is that coming from?
Yeah, and they go and get something for the skin to get rid, you know, to treat the rash, but they don't look at the internal structure. And this is what we have to do, is look at the internal side of it.
Okay.
So this is where there are things you can do to prevent inflammation, but if we let it go on and on, the diseases and disorders become more and more chronic. A common one I see is, and I know of, you know, not just with clients, with other people, is they've been told they've got fibromyalgia. And they've been told, yeah, which is inflammation in the muscles and the body, and it can go right through the whole system, and they end up with just chronic body pain to the point they can hardly get out of bed. There are certain things they do that will help, but one, it's stressful, which is antagonistic. But what can cause it? Stress causes it, but also viruses can cause it, right? And with stress, you're getting so much gut stuff happening. We've worked with the gut. We've done some work on that. And when you get a lot of acid in the gut constantly, and this is where it can also be bacterially, you can get little pores in the gut that allow particles of food into the system. This is one explanation I've heard. And the particles of food get into the bloodstream. Now, what is your immune system designed to do?
Well, why do you reckon, Lawson? You're the biologist here among us. What is my immune system designed to do?
What does our immune system do, designed to do?
Fight off foreign bodies, like that cause us disease. Yeah,
that's it. Now, your immune system genetically is programmed for viruses and all sorts of things that can attack the system. So it identifies and attacks that system. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got killer cells and we've got the white blood cells. There's a lot that makes up immunity, and it's the whole system is structured with it. But what if the immune system can't identify what is the antagonist or what's causing the problem? What's it going to do? Absolutely.
Isn't this what essentially happens with like cancer? Is that
yes.
like it, you know, the body can't necessarily completely identify properly what's bad good, and the cancer cells attack the rest of your cells.
That's it. Yeah. The immune system then attacks healthy tissue because it doesn't identify. It's like going on a rampage and attacking. It's like you have mozzies and you just get a SWAT and you SWAT everything, even there's not a mozzie there. So it's that thing of trying to put the fire out or the problem out, but it doesn't know what to attack. So then it starts to attack healthy tissues. With cancer, inflammation, because we all have cancer cells, but inflammation and, of course, stress can be a major factor, aggravates them and they start to multiply. So this is where, and we do have genetic predispositions because our system's been weakened. But what we want to do is, if you treat the inflammation, it helps the immune system to pull back. Right? Now, I guess this is where people will do things. There's quite a few things you can do. But if you don't treat the inflammation or the stress causing the inflammation and you remain stressed, then it's like you're trying to put the fire out, but you're fueling it at the same time.
Wow. Yeah. And Jennifer, you're talking about stress. Are we talking about just like the mental stress, or we're talking also about environmental stress, including, for example, poor food choices that we ingest. Does that count as a stress, or are you talking stress more
all
in the
stress? Okay. Stress can be in the mind. Yeah, we get a very stressed brain because we can't, you know, something is stressful or trauma, right? But we also get physical stress, and we can get stress in the body, where the body is not coping, and that might be stress induced by too much adrenaline and cortisol.
Okay,
you know, when we're stressed. So, there can be viruses, of course. So there are things that cause stress in the system, but I think the starting point is our known stress. You know, like I've and what we're going to do when we've done this work, we can start looking at better ways to manage stress because that's a key component.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So what I'm understanding here is that stress, all kinds of stress, environmental, mental, physical, they cause inflammation.
Yes.
Inflammation may trigger an immune response where the body knows that something's wrong, but it's not a virus.
Yeah. It takes a lot to get there. Mm-hmm. It's not just something, a one-off thing.
Okay.
It's because we have a constant aggravation in the system somehow on these levels of stress.
So right? let me tell you, I want to ask you this question. Let's say that I'm experiencing symptoms, chronic fatigue, pain and, you know, whatnot. Something's just wrong. Something's not working well in my body. How do I work through to try to find out what is this stressor? What would you recommend? What, which area should I look into and know? Because, you know, as far as I'm thinking, I'm doing everything right. But clearly, I'm probably not.
Well, it comes back to looking at known causes of stress, like work. I work too hard. I work too long hours. I'm not getting enough sleep. You know, things like that. And I'm not eating properly. And this is where we could be eating foods because we're stressed. We eat more junk food, for example, or more sugar hits. They're all inflammatory. Right. Okay. So you haven't just got stress. You've got what you're doing. It's like you're fueling the fire.
So, but where do I start? Because I also think that if you're already going through a stressful moment like this, if you're going to add another tip, you know, okay, I'm going to start cooking better. So that means that I have to get a menu, go to the shops, maybe I don't have time to cook. Okay. Where do I even start?
Not necessarily. Okay. Because really the best foods to eat are the raw foods. Fruits, vegetables, salads. So I've learned to keep it simple. You're better off keeping it simple and making a nice salad and having a bit of, good quality protein with it. I'll bake potatoes in their jackets and I'll use a bit of olive oil on it. You can get nice flavors and things and get some proper salt without over-salting. That's tasty. So it's looking at tasty foods that are easy to prepare, don't take a lot of time.
Okay.
Right? Steaming vegetables, steaming food, baking them in the oven, doing them in their jackets. Yeah, learn more about food and what you can do.
Yeah,
but if you, so maybe if you're just eating too much stuff and too many varieties, and see things like vinegar, and there are certain foods that are more inflammatory than others. So going on an anti-inflammatory food diet, but go online, people listening, and have a look at what foods cause inflammation. Okay. Proteins, and that means if we have a high protein diet, particularly meat proteins, there's a lot more inflammation attached to that.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, that is very interesting.
Yeah, it's being wise. Okay. It's getting proportions, and that will help, and then drinking plenty of fluid, water, you know, tea, coffee, sugar, all aggravate acidic acid equals inflammation.
Okay. So you're saying, okay, look, it is possible to have a healthy diet that is actually not cumbersome, not hard to do. We're talking about simple foods, simple preparations, nothing fancy, but healthy and tasty at the same time.
Yes.
You're talking about keeping the body hydrated.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about more
juicing
in the weeks to come.
Juicing. Yeah, and sleep. Adequate sleep. And of course, when you've got inflammation, you're eating all the wrong things, eating wrong times, blood sugar problems, you're not going to sleep well. You see how it multiplies.
Yeah.
This is about somewhere to start. One is maybe check out the inflammation or, you know, anti-inflammatory foods, things that put and they're the alkaline, and just do some homework on that. And reducing stress. Have a look at, I get stressed because – you know, I spend too much time on a computer. Well, how can I cut that back?
Okay.
What can I do? So it's looking at what are my known stressors. You know, it's because I'm not taking time for me. And even just 10 minutes of sitting quietly and doing some breathing and, you know, praying, talk to God, ask for help. There's all sorts of things we can do. You know, having a little a spiritual book. I've got like a daily reader that I can just read a snippet of, but it's enough just to pick me up and stay focused in the present. Stress is the future and the past.
I love it. And particularly that last tip about the book. You know, I've been trying to keep a book close to me. I have a pocket Bible. And I'm trying to, when I'm sitting down and I'm bored, instead of taking out the social media, because I thought that kind of a drains my
stressful
energy.
Yes,
I started to read the
Bible.
So I'm reading much more now and I'm feeling much, much better. People can take books or something, alongside with them. And that I think would be, you're saying that it could be a good strategy.
Absolutely. Nature is a great antidote to stress and inflammation. Okay. So there's lots of things you can do. Getting out in the sun for 10 minutes a day in the morning, particularly we've talked about sunlight.
Yes.
All of those things. So it's actually putting things into your lifestyle that calm you down, counteract the stress factor and bring down the inflammatory levels.
Very good. Jennifer, I'm very interested in looking forward to our next conversation next week. Mm-hmm. But for now, we have to say bye. We're going to be listening to a song now. You Shall Not Need to Fight. And of course, Radio Friend, if you have any questions to Jennifer regarding autoimmune diseases, please send them through, and we're going to relay these messages on to her. Maybe we can even respond them on air. So
you're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
With Scaffy and Lawson, we have a few things that we want to cover here. We have so many interesting things to talk about today, Lawson, with our radio neighbors. And you, radio neighbor, please send us messages. What do you think? We're going to say, we're going to talk about some interesting things.
Skeptical Lawson. Theists.
Yeah, skeptical theists. We're going to look into that as well. And, but before we do all of that, I want to ask producer Shell to release the power of the third question of the day. So producer Shell. Release it to us.
With pleasure. When Elisha's servant lied to Naaman and took gifts from him.
Yes.
The servant was struck with what infirmity or disease? You got it. You have it. And
I actually just read that story with a friend of mine just 2 weekends ago.
Okay. I'm gonna say this one.
So it's fresh.
You got it.
It's fresh.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you know the name of the servant of Eli? Lawson of Lawson's?
Not Shell.
Oh, not Shell.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
It's Gehazi.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gehazi.
Yeah, buddy.
Our number here is 0491-064-669. That question again. When Elisha's servant lied to Naaman and took gifts from him, the servant was struck with what infirmity or disease?
Bro, there's a strong lesson. There's a strong lesson in that story. I'm going to share it when we share the answer. Yeah. Hey, how about that?
Sounds good.
Because I have to share something that's pretty interesting. Okay, so that's done. We also want to remind everyone that if you were born in the month of February, we here at The Breakfast Show has something very special to you.
Dude, we have something to bless you with.
Okay, and that is a Revive Cafe Cookbook 8. So let us know what day in February you were born. We will say a prayer for you. We're saying a prayer every day after the show. We actually pray for all of our radio friends. So you are being prayed for, radio friend. Mm. For those who text us and we know them by name, we're praying for them. For those who are not texting us, when you don't know, you secret listeners, we love you too. And we also pray for you every day before we start and after we finish. But we also want to bless you through a book. It's a Revive Cafe cookbook. And if you want to learn how to do things such as a ponzu chick balls with, of course, chicken in quotes, because it's all plant-based.
I'd imagine that it's like maybe chickpea, something like that. Maybe not.
I don't know. But what I do know is that this is an exquisite recipe book with a whole bunch of, including 23 amazing breakfast recipes. Jeremy Dixon is here with us every month. He's talking about, you know, he knows how to put flavor. Yeah. On food, with food healthy.
He knows how to make us hungry when he's
make us hungry. And let me tell you, the whole thing about the Revive Cafe cookbook is that all of these recipes are down to earth, are easy. And did you know, Lawson, people are struggling. You know, I went to pay my energy bill the other day, and I was almost like fell backwards. Like, man, I cannot believe like how much money.
Real.
Yeah. Cost of living is going up. And one of the ways you can decrease your cost of living is by adopting a plant-based diet. Not only because you're going to make you healthier, less absent on work, and less prone to go to hospital, but just because it's cheaper.
Dude, I love what you're saying right now.
It's actually cheaper.
I love what you're saying.
By a great deal to eat plant-based.
It's true. People who make the point that, oh, I'm not plant-based because it is so expensive, you are wrong.
You're so wrong. Cheaper.
The only way that it could be more expensive is if you're buying like 30 kilos of tofu or something like that. Like it's
tofu is cheap. But this is the thing. If you're buying like the processed plant-based foods, then you're going to leave your wallet there very quickly.
Yeah.
But you can fill in your cart with way more food, even in terms of weight.
Yeah.
And there's a difference as well. Most foods, like animal-based foods, like chicken, your beef, or your whatnot, when you cook them, what happens? They lose water.
Yeah.
So if you're buying 1 kilogram of meat, by the time that you eat it, it's like 700 grams.
I mean, vegetables are similar, but
but depends. They're cheaper. If you're buying, for example, pulses, like beans, lentils, you all add water to them.
Sure.
They soak water, they expand. So if you're buying, like, say, 1 kilogram of beans, by the time you cook this 1 kilogram, they actually became like 2 kilograms.
Yeah. Same with, like, you know, your carbohydrate bases, your rice, pasta, these kinds of things.
So the mathematic, it's not magic, it's just maths. Yeah. You know, you're getting more for your buck. Not to mention that it's delicious, it's amazing, it's easy to do. Come on, there's absolutely no downsides from it. And if you want inspiration, just let us know when is your birthday, and we want to bless you with a Revive Cafe cookbook. You will get into the special draw, and by the end of the month, you will know if you are awarded with it or not.
Yeah, I know we should move on and talk about some text messages and whatnot, but actually, I want to pick out something that you just said just now.
Yeah, go for it, my friend.
Plant-based diets. You said there's no downside.
There's no downsides.
I love what you're saying here. I think because people claim that, hey, if you go plant-based, I think the two biggest shots that people take at a plant-based diet, no one can deny that it gives you the majority of the nutrients that you need and whatnot. But I think the two biggest things that people say is that you don't get enough protein and that you lack vitamin
B12. Okay, look at these guns here.
Boom!
Look at these guns here. Yeah. Plant-based guns here. I'm just showing pumped up
I would like
here.
To pipe in as well, because I think that there's a lot of people who decide to go vegetarian or to go vegan because they want to stop doing something. Uh-huh. Not because they want to start doing something.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And if you're just doing it to stop eating certain things, you are not going to have a balanced diet.
No.
You need to start eating healthy
rather than
stop eating unhealthy. Yeah. Because if you're just avoiding certain foods, you're going to get malnourished.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
right.
Absolutely.
And you don't need to go to cold turkey as well. I mean, some people, they like to be like, have the shock treatment, you know, go all in.
Yeah.
Some people say, no, let me go gradual. Let's start with, adding some more vegetables to my dishes. And then, like, maybe going one day without meat and then 2 days and 3 days before you know it.
Yeah.
Look, I just love my plant-based diet.
But ultimately, you can get more than enough protein through plant-based sources. And we know this. But secondarily, I think regarding the B12 argument, you can get a B12 deficiency. And I personally know people who, being plant-based their entire life, need to take B12. My fiance is one of them. She's literally eaten meat on one occasion in her life accidentally. She's a lifelong vegetarian.
Okay.
And mostly vegan as well. You know, she's not like, cause they say, you can eat some animal products to get B12 and whether it's eggs or whatever. But she struggles personally with B12. But this is the thing. If you struggle with B12 enough to take a supplement, from the meat eater's perspective or from the meat diet perspective of like, I won't be a vegetarian because I need to take B12. But I'm actually then okay with all of the lasting long-term negative effects that come from eating meat and protein.
I know a lot of meat eaters have to take B12.
That's right. Yeah. It's across the board. And I mean, there's even an explanation for that. People talking about ultimately, you can get your B12. You can get your B12 from veggies if you like wash them less. People talk, either you get your B12 through animals who ate grass, or you can get B12 from, the grass they're eating. That's kind of the point that people often make. Ultimately, look, the outcomes and effects and the blessings from a vegetarian diet are amazing, and many of us have experienced that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Very good. All right. Do we have text messages that came through?
We have a bunch of text messages here.
Let's read them.
Let's work through them. Firstly, here, we got a text message. This was regarding what I was talking about, the anti-aging, antioxidant that is found in a bunch of different veggies. I'll pull that list up right now. But do you want to read that text message here regarding that for me? Can you read that?
Yeah, sure. It was sent by an anonymous listener, and they said this. Except for broccoli, those vegetables are what I predominantly have eaten during my life.
So those vegetables...
I'm a fussy eater.
Those vegetables specifically, celery, broccoli, carrots, onions, and capsicum.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But when I was young, my grandmother would always be giving me apple, celery, and carrot juice. So these are the three items that are – apples are there as well in your list?
No. Celery is there. Celery and carrots. Carrots.
Yeah.
That's right.
So apple, celery, and carrot juice. I am only aware of one hair on my entire head that has been great. Nearly 35 years old. Praise God if that's the reason. So
that's awesome.
Praise God. That's awesome. Very good. Next Wayne question. Yeah, next
Wayne
text message.
Wayne wrote in, he said, Lawson, speaking of gray hair, when I was doing Bible studies with Pastor Justin, he showed me a scripture that explains what happens to the body as it ages. It was eye-opening of something to look forward to, that he says in brackets, not really. Do you know this scripture? I never can find it.
I know it very well. I actually preached a sermon on it once, so I studied it and I love it. There are two psalms that talk about growing old, actually. So, Wayne, you're probably thinking of Psalm 71. Psalm 71 or Psalm 92. These are the two psalms that deal with aging. They're very interesting and very beautifully as well crafted. Okay, Psalm 71 and Psalm 92. Next one, Lawson.
Continuing on here, we got Michael who wrote in. He said, and the end of the world doesn't mean we are to be scared and fearful. As daunting as what is going on in the world around us, we must keep looking and focusing on Jesus who comforts us.
Hey, absolutely. By the way, when I think about the end of the world, that's something I'm looking forward to. It's like, man, it's going to be just the best.
It's
going to
be
ever.
Awesome.
It's going to be awesome. It's right. It's the beginning of a wonderful world where justice, righteousness lives, the Bible says. Okay, next one.
Jean wrote in. She said, good morning, Faith FM team. Just wondering if allergies are caused by autoimmune diseases.
All right. And we can ask that to Jennifer.
It's a great question. From what I've seen, like allergies and autoimmune diseases have a lot of overlap between one another. Like there is quite a bit of, you know, allergies and autoimmune diseases kind of acting and functioning in a quite a similar way. But yeah, need to talk to Jennifer Skews about that one. And then finally here we've got from Tracy, it's more expensive for my dog's meat, than my plant-based food that I eat and love.
There you go, Tracy. Absolutely true. I actually have a friend of mine. She has a dog. It's a beautiful dog. I know that's going on through your head.
It's a beautiful dog.
Yeah. Yeah, but a beautiful dog. And it's a plant-based dog.
Really?
Yeah. I said, what? But my friend is just like all over it. And but look, it's a lot of work. She cooks special foods. It has like all the needs tailored for the dog.
Yeah.
Man, the dog is absolutely beautiful. And it's been on a plant-based diet forever. The dog is old, but it doesn't look old. It looks like a young dog still.
I told my friends, look at this dog. It's a beautiful dog. Yeah. And look at what it eats. It's so special. Dude, that's awesome.
All right.
That's so good.
So that's that. Then there's a few other things as well, Lawson, that I wanted to share before we go to Bible study. Actually, there's a church in, because look, there's a bunch of churches. Remember, we were talking about how the Adventist church is, you know, giving guidelines to pastors, to elders, to church leaders to say, hey, look, tell to, you know, law enforcement officers that are coming to the church that we do not consent when they're entering, but at the same time, don't hinder them. If they're pushing their way in, just don't block them. Let them come. If we are to challenge all these things, we have to do on court. But there is a bunch of churches, a whole bunch of churches, including the Union for Reform Judaism, the Episcopal Church. They actually filed a federal lawsuit.
Really?
Yesterday, challenging that move by the Trump administration of removing the special status of these places of worship and hospitals and schools from places where ICE raids could occur.
Wow.
So it's going legal.
It's happening.
Yeah. Happening. And I think that the Adventist Church was wise to stay out of that litigation process, to be honest. But, you know, there were some brothers and sisters who thought that it was a great idea. So let's see how that goes. Maybe they will have some success.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I think we said everything.
I think we've done everything that the listeners have asked us to do.
Yeah.
Let's go home.
We're just starting. I was actually going to say, hey, Bible study I was actually going to ask you, Lawson, why don't we stay like an extra half an hour today's show? It just like, you know,
man, I got places to be. I'm not Lawson.
Hey, there's something here. There's something here that we were talking about, Lawson, and I wanted to share with my radio friend. Mm-hmm. The Eagles coach praised God for blessing his team after the Super Bowl victory. Mm-hmm. Did we speak about that on air yesterday?
We didn't. I had a chat with Shell about it.
Okay, so Lawson watched the Super Bowl. I think we spoke about it. Super Bowl, and where the Eagles, they defeated the favorites, these Kansas City Chiefs. It was a landslide.
They destroyed them.
They destroyed them. This is like the holy day, the holy of holies of American sports day.
Yeah,
right.
That's right. It's the biggest sports event.
And then there's another, the quarterback of the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, also praises God after dominating the Super Bowl win over the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And then this question that I was asking Lawson is this: why do when athletes win, why do they praise God? But why when the athletes lose? Why don't they praise God?
And that's sometimes true.
Have you noticed that? Is that the case? Hey, show.
Because they don't get the microphone put in front of them when they lose.
Well, kind of real. They do, I think.
They will have a losers, like a losers
occasionally, yeah, but it's usually
press conference.
The coach or
okay,
the,
it could be. So,
but that's
so,
like yeah. straight
so,
after.
But the, so you're okay. saying that it's normal, it's common for athletes to just praise God even when they lose a match or a championship? It's just that the media doesn't give them attention for that?
Look,
I would think it's just as normal for somebody who is used to praising God.
Yeah. But I would say, Scaffy, like, I think you're onto a trend here. Like, mm-hmm. I think it is real. I think what you're saying is true. I saw a funny video that came out as well. Like, because the level of discouragement that you have from losing, like, think about it for the Chiefs. They came second for the year. Like, they got basically a silver medal. Like, they had a fantastic season. But to lose the big one.
Well, it depends. You know what the Navy SEALs.
As pathetically as they did, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
really,
you know what the Navy SEALs say?
Is it like second is first loser or something like that?
That's right. Second place is just the first to lose, the first loser.
That's right.
So I'm not saying that that's what I believe, but for some people, second place is like death, right?
Usually third place, it's like first place has the most enjoyment. First place has the most enjoyment. Third place has the second most enjoyment. And second place has the least enjoyment of anyone. Second could have come last. But the point is, what I'm trying to say is that, look, I saw this funny video also come out from the Super Bowl of like, cause both teams, they have a scheduled after party, even if they win or lose. And it's like the winning team, they have like, you know, everyone's jumping around and celebrating. And then there was this clip that came out from the Kansas City Chiefs after party. And there's like an artist singing and everyone's just kind of standing there like, this is fair enough. But the point is, like you said, Lots of discouragement that comes from losing. And I think in those times, it's hard for these people to praise God. But I really, really appreciated what the Philadelphia Eagles chief said.
Okay.
Look, because most of the time, these athletes, they'll win and they'll say something along the lines of, God put us here, you know, God made this happen, which I really don't believe in. And this is, for me, I'm someone who has...
They're just falling shy of saying, you know, thanks for our cheerers because they prayed harder than the cheers of the other team. You know?
That's right. Which I completely... Personally, I do not believe in. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm like, you win at sport based on strategy, based on luck.
Luck, based on these factors.
Like the people who win, this is for me, coming from a sports background and personally as like a former athlete as well, like I simply cannot believe that it's necessarily God meddling in the affairs. And the reason I don't believe that is because God doesn't care who wins a sports game. Like really at the end of the day, I don't think God cares about this. But I loved what the Philadelphia Eagles chief said. He said, God gave us the talents, we put it together. And we won.
Yeah.
And that's his job. That's his job. Like, look, I'm sure this guy, he's a faithful Christian. He prays every night. He reads his Bibles to his kids. Like he's a Christian dad.
Okay.
And he goes to church and he's faithful. But at the same time, like he recognizes the fact that they're doing something that is also kind of a little bit silly. Like, you know, playing sport professionally, like, God, and this is, I love what he said. He's like, look, we all have been given these talents to come here and to do this, like to do this as our profession, whether we win or lose, like that's based on our strategy. But God gave us the talents. Like God gave us everything that we needed to get here, but we made it happen. And I really appreciated that theologically. I appreciated it because, hey, the winner of the game is the winner of the game. It's those who put in the effort, tried harder, came up with the best strategy, had luck go their way.
Da-da-da-da. I love how he put, you know, the horses in front of the chariots is the proper place, you know?
Yeah.
And look, and as Shel said, if you're used to praise God, you praise God both in the victories and in the losses. Yeah. You know, if I was in the losing team, you say, no, well, I'm praising God for giving us the opportunity, praising God for showing us that, you know, we have more work to do.
Yeah.
And yes, and although we lost, our spirits are not broken. So I'm praising God that he's giving us renewed hope to secure that title next year. There's so many reasons to praise God, whatever, you know, spectrum you are. Let us not be like, you know, some athletes that are just praising God when everything's going right and cursing him when things are not going right. Yeah. That's not
just
the way.
It just makes you cringe.
That's
man.
Not wise.
There was a particular motorbike racer, he's Spanish, he's in the World Champion. I feel like not saying his name, but then I'm like, why don't I just say his name? I don't know. It really rubbed me the wrong way. He like went on a winning streak and then all of a sudden he's like doing he's Catholic. And so he's doing like the, you know, Father, Son,
sign
Holy Spirit,
the
sign of the cross with his hands, like at the start of every race and like, you know, showing his cross and saying stuff like this. And when his like win streak was broken and he lost the championship and all this kind of stuff, like you could see him on the grid instead of doing all this rigmarole. He stopped it just because he's just
not
like,
working
oh,
anymore.
I'm not winning, so I'm, you know. And that just really rubbed
Good
me the wrong way.
Man.
I was like, come on, bro. Like, for me personally, there's then another thing. Like, personally, I as a former motorbike racer and at a professional level, I don't do that anymore because of the calling that God has put in my life. And so you can have that whole conversation. But at the very least, you know, based on your convictions, the journey of the Lord, if you're going to go back on that because, hey, you crashed and didn't win a race and da da da, I'm like, it kind of shows where your faith is at.
It shows where your faith is at.
And we should be, as Paul writes, you know, we should learn to be abased. We should learn to be abound. We should learn to be full and hungry and content in every situation, praising the Lord for the things that he's done for us.
Which leads us to our Bible study, because sometimes we do not understand why bad things happen. And yesterday we read that passage of the book of Job, where God is asking these otherwise simple questions, like, you know, do you know, how do the storage of winds work? Or, you know, where were you? And things that have just like a very straightforward answer.
When I set the boundaries of the rivers and lakes.
That's right. Do you know where the mountain goats go to have their babies? All these questions, they have a very simple yes or no question or like a straightforward factual answer.
Yeah.
And now he's asking, okay, if you don't even know these easy answers, how do you expect to know why I did or didn't do something in something that is as complex as the problem of sin and evil? Of why evil things are happening. Because this is not going to take a simplistic answer. There is a lot of factors going on that you don't understand. And you're coming here and you're saying that I'm not doing a good job. Because basically that's Job's ultimate accusation to God was God wasn't being righteous, wasn't being just. And we know as the readers that he is being fair. So this leads to these, we're going to read a psalm today, Psalm 73, but this leads to the concept of the skeptical theist. So this is in our 20 million movement guide. And I was surprised with this concept that I didn't hear before. This is what the author says. One way of approaching the problem of evil based on recognizing how little we know is called skeptical theism. The skeptical theist is one who believes God has good reasons for acting as he does. But given our limited knowledge, we should not expect to be in a position to know just what those reasons are. So the skeptical theist is a skeptical, not of God, but regarding the human capacity to be aware or to fully understand all of God's reasons relative to the evil in this world. There you go. according to this definition, I'm a skeptical theist.
You're a skeptical theist.
I'm a skeptical theist. Yeah. Not a skeptical on God, but a skeptical on my ability to have the big picture and understand, God, why do you permit this evil to go on?
Mm.
I might have some ideas, but I do not have the full picture. And therefore, yeah. I'll say, you know what? I'm going to give God the benefit of the doubt, knowing that he's righteous, knowing that he never makes mistakes, and I'm going to trust in him, knowing that whatever he's allowing and permitting,
yeah,
it's going to be ultimately for the greater good.
And we have to, because I think if you do a survey of scripture, you can see evil coming upon people for various reasons.
Various reasons.
And this is really important to recognize. People want to kind of confine God into a box of like, things happen for one reason that makes it easier for my brain to process it. But the skeptical theist idea is like, I can't know. I actually can't know. Recognizing that fact. Yeah, and that is fine. Because while simultaneously God will say he's giving Israel up to the Babylonians because of the evil they've committed, Jesus then says, and Jesus, God, same person, same motive, same deal. Jesus then says, hey, how can you know why the Tower of Siloam fell and killed those people? Are they less righteous than you? So look, we have various reasons that we're dealing with. We live in a world of sin.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Thank you so much for listening and to being a part of this show with us. We have now the time for another quiz question. Oh. So, and also the answer. I want to say something about the answer that one lost in if you allow
me. I'll let you.
All right. Thank you.
Just this time though.
What was the answer?
Okay. So the answer was, he was afflicted by leprosy. Mm-hmm. Gehazi, the servant of the prophet Elisha. What happened is this. Naaman was this guy. He was an officer, a commander, a general, you know, in the Syrian army. And he had leprosy. He was told by an Israelite maidservant that he had that, hey, if you talk to a prophet in my homeland, I think he can make you well. Mm. So as a last resort, Naaman goes there and, you know, Elisha, makes him, you know, tells him, look, go and, baptize yourself in the Jordan River 7 times, immerse yourself 7 times and you will be healed. And of course, Naaman was outraged, but eventually he was convinced to do so and he was healed. And one of the things is that he brought in, truckloads of gifts to give to Elisha. And Elisha said, no, don't give any gifts to me. Number one, because it was not I who healed you, but God. And number two, because God doesn't need it. And number three, because we did it by grace.
Mm.
But his assistant, his servant, Gehazi, he was a greedy man. He wanted those goods. So after Naaman left, he ran to Naaman and he lied and he said, hey, Naaman, my master, Elisha, he changed his mind. And yes, actually, we want your gifts. You can give them all to me.
Mm.
And then he came back, he got these gifts, he hid it somewhere, and when he came back to Elisha's house, Elisha said, why did you get these gifts?
Mm.
He knew God has revealed to him what happened.
Wow.
And basically said, okay, do you want to have what Naaman has? So you're going to have what Naaman has. You're going to keep the gifts, but you're also going to have his leprosy.
Whoa.
So desiring what the other person has is never a good idea, Lawson, because we might be looking at the good things, but God says, oh, really? Sorry, do you want what they have? Well, it actually may be way worse than what you're expecting. So let us not covet after things that are not ours and certainly the life that is not ours, but let us each find contentment in what God has given to us. That's the best.
Absolutely. Hey, praise the Lord. That's a powerful message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It is.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. We need to get into our next quiz question.
Last one. All right,
last one. Okay.
What?
Let's do it.
Oh, okay. It's a multiple choice, but I'm going to word it differently for you two, as we start. What does these two cities have in common?
Okay. All right. I love geographical questions.
Okay. Which cities?
Okay. So we got Babel, however you want to say
Babel.
It, and love Nineveh. Babel. What do they have in common?
What do they have in common? I'll throw a loss in here and say land.
No, stop it.
Buildings.
That's not what I say. I might have said that before. Okay, can you say that one more time?
Yes. And it's not that they're both evil situations. Oh,
they have so much in common. Let's read the multiple questions. So
the city of Babel and the city of Nineveh were both built by the same person. That's what they had in common. Who was it?
Yeah.
Yes, we've got a correct answer. We've got another correct answer. Yeah. Well good done. Idea,
hey, we know.
All right, but I'm going to give multiple choice for multiple our choice. Listeners. Uh-huh. Okay. A, was it Seth? B, Adam? C, Cain? Or D, Nimrod? The city of Babel and the city of Nineveh were both built by who? Seth, Adam, Cain, or Nimrod?
Or E, Kabumius. Kabumius.
Kabumius.
Kabumas.
Kabumus.
Or F, Fireworkius. Can you go through those options one more time, please, producer?
If you don't know what they're talking about, you need to listen to yesterday's podcast. That's right. The city of Babel and the city of Nineveh were both built by who? Was it A, Seth? B, Adam? C, Cain? Or D, Nimrod? Our number here is 0491-064-669. Text us in.
When you were saying to get stuff in common, I thought that was the question. And so I was writing like, they're both pagan. They both had walls. They had, and then I was thinking, okay, maybe they both had towers. They worshipped gods. And then, like, this kind of thing. I was just listing them. I was just writing them out. But hey, okay, both built by the same guy. Who was it? 0491-064-669. Skeptical theist.
Skeptical theists. Let's read Psalm 73, Lawson.
Man, I'm here. Psalm 73.
The whole thing.
The whole thing. All right, let's do it. Verse 1, the Bible says, truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
Okay, just pause here. It's written by Asaph, who is a Levite, a composer in David's time. And he said, look, God is good to Israel, to those who are poor in heart. But look, I actually almost lost my faith.
Wow.
And for a person that is living in Israel, is serving at the court of King David, is that you're seeing history in the making here.
Yeah.
To say I almost lost my faith is something.
Mm.
His faith was really shattered. And what was that something, Lawson?
Well, it says here that it was at the prosperity of the wicked.
That's right. Yeah. It was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So, man, like, wicked people are doing so well in life.
Mm-hmm.
They're billionaires. They have the cars. They have the goods. Why God, if they're so openly defiant of righteousness?
Wow.
Let's keep reading.
Continues on here. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than the heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth.
Wow. Like, have you ever seen anyone that matches that description?
Yeah, embodies this. Yeah, bro. Lives this life. I love it. Interesting here, because it's talking about all the negative things that they do, but it also talks about the benefits they have as well. When it says there's no pangs in their death and their strength is firm. Like,
they're living long. They're strong. They're healthy. Yeah. You know,
they're not getting afflicted with leprosy or anything like this,
bro. Like, they're just nailing it. They're crushing it.
It continues on here. It says, therefore, his people return here, and their waters are of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Powerful stuff. Continues on. It says, if I had said...
Yeah. So it basically said, look, they come here, they say, God doesn't know anything, He doesn't know. And they're still increasing in riches. And then for him, he said, man, like, well, why am I cleansing my heart? Like, why don't I just join them? If oppression brings prosperity, what am I doing here serving the Lord faithfully and just, struggling here, struggling my finances, struggling with, you know, power, success, whatever it is.
This is kind of like in a modern day equivalent would be like the, because this is Asaph, a Levite, writing probably about Levites here, about his fellow co-workers. And it's like, you know, these Levites are being offered jobs, you know, to, I don't know, go and be, it's like a pastor getting offered a job to go be a drug dealer. And like, hey, you can make, you know, billions of dollars and have an easy life, or millions of dollars and have an easy life. Just, you know, come and do this. And he's sitting there and seeing, you know, maybe his friends in the Levite courts, his brothers and cousins who serve the temple with him, just like leaving for riches' sake, because they're seeing the prosperity of the wicked. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of young children, of your children, I should say. This is verse 15.
15, okay.
If I had said, I speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children.
Yeah, so just pause here. So basically saying here, if you say, look, if I try to explain to someone why was that the case, I would be lying to you, because the reality is I did not know.
I don't know, yeah.
I don't know how to... how to explain this mystery to people.
And he says here, and this is kind of the famous line from Psalm.
That's the famous line. That's the crux.
This is the peak here, the pinnacle. Yeah. It continues in verse 16. It says, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me.
I couldn't until
I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Yeah.
There you go. He looks into the sanctuary of God and he realized, you know what? He looked into the ritual of the sanctuary. He looked at the realities of the sacrifices, because in the end of the day, sin brings forth death, death, eternal death. And he realized, wow, maybe they're getting it good in this life. This life is not all there is to life. God has an eternal life prepared and can only be accessed by God's mercy, by God's forgiveness, by relationship with God, by being in God's covenant.
Yeah.
And he realized, you know what? All these riches, I mean, what good they are if they are just lasting, what, 70 years, 80 years, 100 years? At most, if God has an eternity of blessings to those who are faithful to the covenant.
Yeah. And also, like, blessings and life more abundant, I think is really important to understand a lot. Yeah. You know, it says here that there's no pangs in their death. But what do the righteous look forward to? No death. You know, what's better, a peaceful death or eternal life?
Eternal life, yeah, absolutely.
This kind of thing. It continues on here in verse 18. It says, surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one wakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image.
Yeah. So he knew that God will ultimately put an end to evil and to all of those who cherish evil in their hearts. And this is what he says, you know, in the end of the psalm, he says, it is good for me to draw near to God, actually. And I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare your works. He said, you know what? It's so worth it. So worth it, Lord, to be a part of righteousness. Not only because of just of righteousness' sake, but because there is a God that will vindicate those who place their trust in Him.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We are now going to unveil the mystery of Shell Squeeze Question. Number 4.
Bum, bum, bum. I love Simon's answer. He was getting in the spirit of our quiz. He said, Nimrodius.
So I grew up not Christian, and I had always heard, like, I think, I thought Nimrod was just like an insult. Like, it's just what you call dumb people. Cause it's like from like TV, especially from American TV, they would call dumb people Nimrods. And I'm like,
really?
You know, they make fun of them being like, you're such Nimrod. Or whatever.
Really?
And I was like,
what's the origin of that?
I didn't even know what it meant. I just thought it was like, they're dumb. Like, for some reason, Rod made me think of stick. And I was like, they're dumb like a stick or something. I don't know. And then I read the Bible and I found out that it was
He's a real person.
Not
only a real person. He was like the first truly famous man.
Yeah.
Of the planet.
Of the planet, yeah.
Yeah, he's a very important figure in the ancient world. Yeah. And he's conquering and he's, you know, leadership and whatnot. He was like a quite well-regarded hunter, a mighty hunter before the Lord.
And also seen as kind of one of the originating figures of ancient pagan religion.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Shout out Nimrod. I mean, he's dead, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't about what, want to shout
according,
out to him.
Yeah. No, according to his wife, Ishtar, he's not dead.
He's a man of... I don't think that he wanted to cross Nimrod's way. I don't think he was a man of peace.
No way. But shout out to all those who got the right answer. Yeah.
Yes, including whom? Ben and Simon. Let me see here.
A big, big shout out to Janelle, who is 12 for 12 so far this week.
Oh, answering every question correctly.
So okay. She's done better than you two. Just saying.
Hey, you know what we could do? We could do one show that is just a special quiz show.
What do you mean? We do a special quiz.
Yeah, yeah. We just have like the whole show, just like a trivia. And we could invite our radio friends in.
Kind of quiz.
What?
Yeah, and people we've lined up people who are willing to be on the phone and answering quizzes.
Yeah,
it'd be cool. Though. It could be just a complete show that's like trivia the whole time, and it's just like everyone's playing trivia with us.
I think you're a genius, Lawson.
It'd be a game show episode. We get a bunch of people from our office actually to come in and, you know, participate.
Be contestants.
That would be cool.
Woo. All right. Okay. I would look forward to that.
Yeah.
I definitely would. And maybe you would too.
Special show. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. This is it. We've been talking about the skeptical theist and Asaph and Psalm 73 and how ultimately God will not leave evil unpunished. Oh, I actually have a Bible passage, Lawson, that I was owing to you and to my radio friend. Mm. And I'm going to pay my debt. You know how I said that there's a passage in the Old Testament that appeared to be saying that God only forgives people three times and then the fourth is gone? I found it.
Yeah.
And it was in the book of Amos, as I was suspecting, chapter 1. And this is a series of oracles, of prophecies here against various nations. It starts in verse 3. It says, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron, but I will send a fire into the house of Hazael and so on. And then it keeps going. It says, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, and I will not turn away its punishment. For three transgressions of Tyre and for four. And then it keeps going. For three transgressions of Edom and for four. For three transgressions of Ammon and for four. And Moab is included here and Judah. So there's this formula that it's being said here. For three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away its punishment because they have despised the law of the Lord. And they realize, hey, maybe three is the limit. Like you forgive people three times, the fourth you can't. So, you know, you cannot be better than God, so you should not. And that's what Peter is probably thinking of when he says, hey, maybe we should forgive people seven times, Jesus, now that you're now talking about grace and so on and so forth. Anyway, that's just a curiosity. We can talk more about that passage another time and what it means. But for now, we're going to stay here. So do not forget to talk faith, live faith, and act.
God be with you. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.